The Witness of Creation Book Series by Billy Crone. Part 1, Intelligent Design. Chapter 1, The Evidence of the Universe. Hey, how many of you guys have ever watched a nature show or some science program and actually heard evolution being taught? Yeah, it's not a surprise at all, is it? It's all you get, isn't it? And gee whiz, I don't know about you, but it seems like the impression they're trying to give us is that all scientists and students, including those studying to become scientists, are evolutionists, right? Yeah, slightly. But people, the point is this. Is this true? Are all scientists or future scientists evolutionists? Are you kidding? People, the facts are many scientists are already creationists and others have recently become one. Let's take a look at some examples.
My brother helped lead me to the Lord, and I was saved on February 3rd, this year by buying a series of videos on the issue of creation versus evolution. I can't quit watching them. I plan to copy them and hand them out to my friends and family and anyone else I can get to watch them. I have been searching and praying for the knowledge and tools to help me lead people to Jesus, and I think these videos are my answer. I just want to say thank you for speaking the truth and for providing these tools so that I can help give people the truth. I'm a physics major at the University of Arkansas, and I first obtained a series of videotapes on creation versus evolution through our local campus ministry. As a future member of the scientific community, I found it quite overwhelming to stand up for my faith in front of such vehement professors and students totally sold on evolution, but I've found that I can have the knowledge to counter them. I've been challenged to learn as much about that as my other studies. I have also seen my two dearest friends come to be bold about their faith as well. Thank you.
Until I went to college, my faith in God was sound, but my college history class helped to destroy that faith. I started to doubt the Bible and God's word. I even started to doubt that Jesus was truly God's Son and that He died and rose for my sins. But then my best friend showed me some information on creationism and I was in awe of what I saw. Everything was changed.
And lest you think these are isolated cases, the facts are that 75% of all children raised in Christian homes who attend public schools will reject the Christian faith by their first year of college.
Timothy R. Stout, chairman of the board and chief scientist for T&G Technologies Incorporated, was a science major at the time when he began to struggle with many of the issues involving theism versus atheism for the previous year. He began to be impressed by how a very few basic laws of nature could affect so much of things in everyday life. What impressed him was the appearance of design. After this testimony of God's handiwork combined with the testimony of his friends, Mr. Stout accepted Christ as his savior and is now the pastor of the Gold Hill Bible Church near Placerville, California.
A college professor, Job Martin had been a Christian for several years but still believed in evolution when two students challenged him to examine the validity of the evolutionary theory. His gradual complete switch of views not only changed his life but eventually led him into the ministry where he helps provide others with rational and convincing biblical answers against evolution.
The 50-year head of the university science department in San Diego accepted Christ through the faithful witness of his wife and family. Several months after his conversion, this longtime PhD exclaimed, "I can hardly believe I could be so dumb for so long. I thought I knew something before I was converted, but the greatest period of learning in my life has taken place these past few months."
Now, how many of you guys have ever heard a report on CNN or read in a science magazine about these scientists or future scientists becoming creationists? Yeah, probably none of us, right? And why is that? Because there's not just a bit of biasness going on, there's a bunch of resentment as well. You see, it's bad enough the scientific community keeps the lid shut on people converting to creationism, but folks, believe it or not, when they do so, they shun them from the scientific community. Don't believe me? Let's take a look at some recent examples.
Roger DeHart, science teacher at Burlington Edison High School near Seattle, Washington, was told he could not inform students of errors in the textbooks by passing out articles from current science journals. Kevin Haley, biology teacher at Oregon Community College, lost his job for exposing errors in the textbooks. William Dembski was fired by Baylor University because he advocated intelligent design. Forrest Mims was a science writer for 20 years. He published in National Geographic, Science Digest, the American Journal of Physics, and 60 magazines and newspapers. He was denied a job as writer for Scientific American because he was a creationist. Rod Lavake, of Faribault, Minnesota, was a biology teacher who was reassigned simply because he doubted Darwin's theory. Dan Clark, a teacher of Lafayette, Indiana, quit because he was reprimanded for teaching an alternative to evolution. Dean Kenyon was a tenured professor at the San Francisco State University and wrote books for years about how wonderful evolution was. But then one day he got converted, and they fired him. But he said, "You can't fire me, I've got 20 years. So they said okay, and put him in as a lab assistant washing test tubes. He then had to go through a whole big lawsuit just to get his job back, simply because he doubted Darwin's theory.
Now folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say the evolutionists are not only a little bit biased here, I'd say they're being belligerent as well. I mean, gee whiz, it's almost as if somebody's trying to hide the truth or something, you know what I'm saying? Well gee, guess what? That's exactly what God said they'd do.
Romans 1:18-22. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools."
Now folks, I don't know about you, but I not only find it interesting how the Bible predicted the behavior of the evolutionists we see today, but I also find it frightening how those who are doing this are actually doing what? What did it say? Their holding back of the truth is actually heaping up the wrath of God, right? And how many of you would say that's probably not a good thing to do? Therefore, in order to help you and I to become the most effective witnesses we can for Jesus Christ, and help these folks out, that's right, we're going to begin a new study called, The Witness of Creation. And what we're going to be doing is taking a look at the five different evidences of creation that God has left behind for us, showing us that He's not just real, but that we really can have a personal, intimate relationship with Him, the Creator of the universe. And the first evidence God left behind for us showing us this amazing truth is the evidence of an intelligent creation. And what we're going to do is take a look at not just the scriptural evidence but the scientific evidence that reveals how we really were and had to be intelligently designed by an intelligent creator for an intelligent purpose. Why? Because stop and think about it. Intelligent design implies what? An intelligent designer, right? For instance, what would you say if I told you my watch with about 12 moving parts slowly evolved in a field across the street over millions and billions of years from the rain and erosion beating down on the rocks and sticks and mud, and I just happened to be walking by and picked it up? What would you say? You would say the cheese done slid off my cracker, right? Of course you would. Why? Because a watch cannot design itself, right? Hello? They're made by who? By watchmakers, right? So here's the question. Then why is it acceptable for an evolutionist to say that not just a watch, but our whole world showing incredible design, evolved under the same circumstances? You talk about cheese sliding off a cracker. Hello? You better call Kraft Macaroni and Cheese and tell them to back up the truck. And people, this is precisely the point. The evidence of an intelligent creator designing our intelligent world is not only why those scientists got saved, it's absolutely overwhelming. So just what is this overwhelming evidence showing that an intelligent creator designed our intelligent world? Well hey, I'm glad you asked. The first evidence of an intelligent creator designing our intelligent world is the evidence from the universe. People, we're going to take a look at some interesting scientific facts about our universe, and you tell me if it doesn't reek of intelligent design. Not only that, when we get done here, I think you'll clearly understand why the evolutionists are trying so hard to suppress this truth.
Nuclear force. It just so happens that the universe contains a force called the nuclear force that keeps the protons in the nucleus of each atom together. The problem is that if there were a very slight increase in the strength of this nuclear force, then the universe would consist of mainly heavy metals keeping life from existing anywhere in the universe. A very slight decrease in the nuclear force and the only element in the universe would be hydrogen, which would produce the same results, no life. Electromagnetic coupling constant. This force is the same as the magnetic force that causes like charges to repel and opposite charges to attract. Kind of like getting married, If this constant were slightly stronger, the result would cause there to be no molecules and consequently no life could exist. If this constant were slightly smaller, then electrons would too easily leave the nucleus and again, no life. Expansion rate of the universe. The universe is expanding away from a point of origin at approximately 2 million per hour.
Physicists have determined that if this rate were a few percent slower, then all the matter in the universe would collapse into a ball. If the rate of expansion were slightly faster, then galaxies and stars could not have formed. Either way, no life. Mass of the universe.
The matter in the entire universe is also fixed within a very narrow range. According to astrophysicists, a few percent increase in the amount of matter in the universe would have resulted in stars which were too big and too hot. A few percent decrease in the total mass of the universe would have resulted in no heavy elements and stars that were too small to support life.
The final result, no life in the universe. Distance between the stars. Astrophysicists have discovered that the distance between stars is critical to life. If the distance between the stars was just a few percent closer, then this would destabilize the planetary orbits around the Sun and the Earth would not be capable of supporting life. If the distance between stars were too far, then planets would not be able to form. Again, no life. Number of protons and electrons. It has been discovered that the ratio of the number of protons to the number of electrons is extremely delicate and critical for life. For instance, if the ratio was just a little bit larger, then it would have prevented the galaxies, stars, and planets to form.
However, if the ratio was slightly smaller, then it would also prevent galaxies, stars, and planets to form.
It has to be exact for life to exist. Force of gravity.
If gravity were any stronger, the smaller stars could not have formed, and if it were any weaker, the bigger stars could not have formed. In fact, it has been discovered that all masses are found to attract one another with this force, gravity, and it varies inversely as the square of the separation distance between the masses. But the question is, where did that 2, square, come from? Why is the equation exactly squared? Why is it not 1.87, 1.95, 2.001, or 3.378? Every test reveals the force of gravity is keyed precisely to that 2. But how did it arrive at this and why is it exactly 2? Well, as it turns out, it just so happens that any value other than 2 would lead to an eventual decay of orbits and the entire universe would destroy itself.
Mass of the proton.
If the ratio of the mass of the proton to neutron were to vary just a little, utter chaos would result and destabilize the entire universe. If it were any less or more, atoms would fly apart or crush together, and everything therein, which is everything, would be destroyed.
Without that delicate balance, the universe would collapse.
Some theologians feel this is what God is going to do when he destroys the old heavens and earth to replace it with the new.
2 Peter 3:10 and 12. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat.
The city in the sky.
Did you know there is a city in the sky complete with streets and avenues, which you may traverse as you journey from one galaxy to another? As it turns out, the entire universe is laid out in a definite pattern to help you find your way around as you go from place to place.
For centuries we knew about the houses, the stars. Then we learned about the city blocks, the galaxies.
But not until the middle of our century did we begin to realize that they are strung out along networks of streets and boulevards like a city above us.
First there was the houses or the stars.
The total number of stars in the known universe is estimated to be at least 10 billion trillion. In fact, our own galaxy contains in excess of 200 trillion stars.
That's a lot of houses. But then we discovered the city blocks or the galaxies.
As it turns out, there are not only a ton of stars but tons of stars all grouped into organized patterns, each circling a central ball of stars or a galaxy. For instance, just the center of the Andromeda galaxy contains more than 100 million individual stars, and our own galaxy is just one part of a local group of 19 galaxies.
Then we discovered the streets or clusters.
It had been decided that, in accordance with mathematical probabilities, galaxies could only be randomly distributed throughout the universe. But the more the universe was studied, the more it was found to be even more organized than had earlier been imagined possible. In fact, in 1956, a scientist, George Abel, found that 50,000 galaxies appeared in an area of the sky no larger than the bowl of the Big Dipper. But scientists were slow to accept Abel's findings, because it violated their theories. All of this totally disproved their precious explosion theories of the origin of matter and the universe. Then, working with this vast amount of data, scientists began to carefully map out all of the galaxies within a billion light years from our world. They divided it into a million squares, with each one shaded in accordance with the number of galaxies it contained. Suddenly, the map began to show that the galaxies were in clusters somewhat like delicate embroidery. And by looking at this map, they began to see celestial streets and lanes running all through the sky. In fact, they led from one galaxy to another, yet within each of those galaxies was over 100 million stars. Why this hasn't made it to the news is news to me, but discovery after discovery revealed that the universe was arranged, not according to random mathematical probabilities, but as if by a carefully pre-planned design.
Now folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say the evidence of our universe clearly shows it was what? It had to be intelligently designed by an intelligent creator, right? Exactly. In fact, I'd say anybody who says that it wasn't, is acting like they're a few peas short of a casserole, you know what I'm saying? And gee whiz, I guess that's why Charles Townes, a Nobel Prize winner for physics, had this to say.
The more we know about the cosmos, the universe, the more they seem inexplicable without some aspect of intelligent design. And for me, that inspires faith.
Crone translation? If you think the universe was created by chance, you're a few peas short of a casserole. Right? Isn't that what he's saying? Of course he is. Why? Because any intelligent person knows that design implies a what? A designer, right? And how many of you'd say when it comes to life it had to be God? Hey, great answer, you're so intelligent. Oh, but that's not all. The second evidence of an intelligent creator designing our intelligent world is the evidence from the solar system. People, we're going to take a look at some interesting scientific facts about our solar system, and you tell me if it doesn't also show a bit of intelligent design. But we'll take a look at that in the next chapter.